Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I'm the class clown at these. I don't want to do them anymore because my instincts are to just do that. And it's not that I don't have it. I could say things. Melman, get in here. Come in here. Someone, you can't figure it out.
The door, if you pull the handle, the door opens.
All right, so by way of introduction,
you got a news channel that you
Peter
got
Melman, who looks
like a lost homeless man.
He absolutely looks like a homeless man.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And we are live at Chatter. We are open for breakfast. We are full service and for profit at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Street Northwest, inside the line, inside the District of Columbia line. We have birthday people today. Josh is here. It's his birthday.
Happy birthday, Josh.
Karen is here.
Happy
it's her
21st.
Birthday.
Happy birthday, Karen.
And Dave's birthday is tomorrow.
Wow. Happy
birthday. So of the people that are here eating breakfast, virtually everyone has a birthday within the next 24 hours.
Do you do the comped breakfast for your birthday?
No, we don't, but thanks for bringing that up.
I've heard that.
What gets comped here is our good wishes, our goodwill.
That's free of charge.
That's what we do.
This is a for-profit business venture.
Oh, yes. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, so last night completed my week from hell in terms of having to leave the grid, having to go places. I did not have to speak last night.
Reset it for us. You had a whole bunch of these
Last Thursday, a week ago, last Thursday, I was in New York City, and I had to speak at a fundraiser for the School of Management, the business school at Binghamton University.
Right. Bombed. And people weren't paying attention.
Nobody was paying attention.
Loud talkers.
Buzzing bees. Yep. Nobody paying attention.
It was a networking event.
And I just sort of plowed through.
Hey, who's that guy talking?
Right. I plowed through and then expressed my disdain on this air the next day. Or Monday or something like that. And then Sunday night at Columbia Country Club, Wilbon and I did an event, a charitable event for the Poor Roberts Foundation, which gives out thousands of turkeys on Thanksgiving. And it's really a beautiful thing, and it was started by our late friend Bobby Abbo. Right. That was a...
Started a little later than scheduled, I remember. But
yes, well,
yeah,
Mike...
But you were fine.
Mike wasn't there.
Right.
Which, a pattern that was repeated the next time we had an event, which was Tuesday night.
Right.
Mike not there at the beginning. Right. Mike not there for the first 30 minutes. But, of course... And then Mike said, well, there was a lot of traffic. And I said, that's why I told you to go with me, but you had to do it your own way. So that was Tuesday night, was at Maryland. And then last night, Wednesday night, I went to the screening of the Ben Bradley documentary, which will be on HBO. And my thought was, I can go to the cocktail party beforehand and say hello to a lot of people and then leave the museum when they do the screening. And why would I do that? Well, two reasons. One, I'm very tired all the time. Mm-hmm. And two, it's on HBO. And unlike Liz Clark, I get HBO. So I can watch this at my leisure.
At your leisure.
Yeah. I can sit in my own house and watch it, turn it off, turn it back. I can do all of those things. But I wanted to go there, so at least I was respectful to the people who had invited me. And I made a list when I got home, because there were a lot of post people who were there. Chris, you will know some, but you will not know all.
I should have gone. I was invited. I didn't know you were going to go. If I knew you were going to go, I probably would have gone.
I felt I should, and there were a lot of people there that I wanted to see, and I saw them. And so I made a partial list of people that I wanted that was there. Len Downey was
Love
there.
Love him.
Now, I was incredibly privileged in my journalism career to have worked for the following managing editors at major newspapers in America: Abe Rosenthal, Ben Bradley, Len Downey.
Yeah, that's a
How
pretty
am I
good
doing?
List.
Could I interest you in that? Among them, they had about 25 Pulitzers.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they were great.
They're I worked
great.
With Len. Len
great.
One great thing, Len, giant Ohio State fan. And,
well, he went to he went to the Ohio State University.
And,
he's now working at...
He's at Arizona State.
Arizona State doing journalism program.
I love that he, on election nights, would sit right in the middle of all of us, and he and I would like kibitz about what was happening. Total political.
I always say that wrong.
Yeah.
You would kibitz.
I should never say that word.
Josh.
He's conflating it with kibbutz.
Yeah,
Yeah. We would talk.
Yeah.
And he loves politics.
Yeah.
Loves it.
He had a rule, though. He didn't, no, he didn't vote.
That's right.
And I said, I want to vote. He says,
thing,
you
right?
can vote.
You don't vote.
I don't you vote. Can vote, but he doesn't. He did not vote.
Yep.
And he also said you couldn't hold any receptions for candidates, which I agree with 100%, but I wanted to vote because I'm one of those people that feels voting is not only a right, it's an obligation, or you lose the
right. How did he feel about taking five figures from people stupid enough to pay you that to talk to them? Did he have a stance on that? I'm just curious.
I think he was pro.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it was weird. It was odd.
He was there with Janice last night, and he had said we had invited him. Mike and I had invited him to be there at that press club award,
yeah,
and he was babysitting. State. He was babysitting his grandson in Brooklyn, and he'd said, "Well, let's have dinner. Let's have dinner next month." And I said, "Okay, the next month has passed. We're into the next
yeah,
month.
That has that Where is a way are of happening."
And he said, "Let's have dinner." And I said, "Let's have it at Chatter. It'll be my treat. Let's have it at Chatter." And he said, "Okay." And he didn't say what he should have said. Was that food any good?
So
he didn't say that.
Do me a favor. You guys could split
when
it.
You
I don't
have
know
that
you need the treat.
Ask him if when babysitting for the grandchild, if he touched the baby. I would be curious to know that.
Well, his grandchild is two or three.
Yeah, even so.
Presumably.
Like, I am not allowed. Michael is here. I'm not allowed to babysit Bootsy, right?
Oh, gosh,
that's,
no.
That's for the best for everyone
I'm not
involved.
Allowed. Seems practical. Yeah. By the way, when and I
is
said
that a
this
city
off
mandate,
air,
or is that just for Michael and Liz?
Michael and Liz.
It's from the pediatrician.
Yeah. So what you get is people that know that you've had a grandchild, and your first grandchild, you get this all the time, mostly from women, but from some men, too, and they say, as great as you thought it was, it's even greater. And I go, yeah, yeah.
Sure.
What am I going to say?
Not
I
yet.
I poke the baby.
Right.
Yeah. I don't hold the baby.
Changed
I don't,
my
you
life.
Know, I mean, it, no.
Don't well, talk I get the question, the what is sports. It like to see your dad with your child as a grandfather?
Yeah.
And I go,
terrifying.
Well, I mean, it's a little worse than I thought it'd be, but it's okay.
I'm so happy.
It's not the worst thing that happened.
I'm so happy for Michael and Liz and so happy for Bootsy, but I'm not, you know, I'm not that guy yet.
Yeah.
I'm not. So yeah. Anyway. All right, so Myra McPherson was there. Hadn't seen her in a few years. Love Myra McPherson. Great writer, Myra McPherson. Sally Quinn, of course, is there. Love Sally. Sally did the pop-up podcast, which she said to me last night. A lot of people have come up to her, and they said they liked it very much. Her son, Quinn Bradley, mm-hmm. Ben's son, was there, who is now engaged, by the way.
That's right.
Your friend from Germany.
Oh, Melanie.
Melanie came over and said hello
oh,
with
great.
Her beau. And that was nice to see
yes,
them.
Lance, yes,
Richard Cohen, who's one of the producers, yep. who I think is a great writer, who I think should have been awarded Pulitzer Prizes time and time and time again. Richard was there. And Richard, I tried to talk to him, but he said, yeah, I got to circulate. And I felt like,
wow.
Well, I mean, I think. Yeah,
I like that he's open about
it. People came here to see me.
I wasn't
blowing you off.
I wasn't
Big deal.
High
People
enough.
Know me.
I wasn't high enough on the chain.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, that's pretty yeah. interesting. I'm not high enough
we'll
on the chain.
We'll see if he wants to talk to you after today's episode.
Yeah. You know,
that'll go well.
I love Richard. I do. But he is the titular producer of this. And
right.
he did have to
move
go
around a room.
He did. He had to work the room. So that was okay. Bo Jones, who was Donnie Graham's roommate in college, was the publisher of the paper. The great Mark Shields was there.
Yep.
Margaret Carlson, who worked for a million years at Time magazine and now is on, isn't she on television all the time? I mean, I
she
said
was
I see you all
Bloomberg
the time.
She was at Bloomberg for sure, and I don't know where she is now, but she's ubiquitous.
Tammy Haddad was there. Mm-hmm. Tammy Haddad knows all and knows everyone. And Tammy said she'd like to have, you know, lunches here at Chatter.
Well,
she'd
that
like
would be
to,
good.
She'd like to bring people to Chatter. I said, Tammy, just come over anytime. Talk to anybody.
She's
please.
Involved in Veep, too.
Yes,
Tammy.
She's one of the story consultants yep. on Veep, which is a routinely brilliant show. Peter Osnos, who worked at The Post for a long time, was there. Bob Kaiser, who ran the editorial section for a long time, he was there. Larry Meyer, who was there for a million years, the number one Chicago White Sox fan that I've ever met. Mandy Grunwald, who was active with the Clinton campaigns, right?
Oh, absolutely. She was Hillary's media consultant.
Shelby Coffey, George Solomon, Wolf Blitzer. And I said to Wolf, ooh. I took a shot at you
good.
At that award thing. And he looked at me like, really? And I said, hey, lighten up, Francis. You know, come on, stop.
I will say that. Stop. I will say that.
Mark Ein was there.
Oh,
Mark
yeah.
Ein,
oh,
owner
yeah.
of the
Castles.
Washington
the
Castles.
Castles
was
That's
there.
Right. Wolforius Blitzer has a very good sense of humor.
Yes.
So I would say that he
I think he's all right. He
yeah.
was okay.
He wouldn't take umbrage at that.
And of course,
not like Nigel.
Of course, Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein were there. I saw them from afar.
Did you say thank you?
I could not get close to them because they were, whatever red carpet is out, they're on it. And they're on it all the time, and they're being interviewed by a million people. And you know what? It's fine. It's not only fine, it's proper. It's the way it ought to be. And a few littles were there, and that made me happy.
How?
And they came
How
over.
How does that happen?
They were just invited, and I thought that was really good, and they
big
listened
littles.
To the show. So
big,
I was happy.
Was it big event, big crowd?
I would say,
he just read a list of 400 names.
I would say that there were a couple of hundred people there.
Yeah.
I would say a couple hundred people. And they had champagne, and it was good champagne. So
champagne or sparkling wine?
Champagne. And nice. I went to the champagne area. They had a lot of food
the
out.
Champagne room?
I didn't eat the food.
No, not the champagne room.
I didn't eat the food. I felt odd eating the food, even though there was lots of food.
Was it like a butler d'hors d'oeuvre situation?
There was
some,
no,
or like a
I would
sit
eat
down?
The, yeah, the butler
Wait,
d'hors d'oeuvre
why did you
I had
feel
no problem
eating
with.
The food?
I didn't want to go to the table and just eat the food. I sort of felt
like
I
a
wasn't,
shark. Got to keep moving.
I wasn't
going
to stay for the event, and I shouldn't eat the food.
What?
That's crazy.
It would be hypocritical to eat.
I don't like to eat the food because then you have to sit at a table, and I worry someone I don't know will come up to me.
It was pick up stand around food.
Oh, you know, I would have hammered that.
No, I didn't do that. Huh. Can you tell the people who are now listening what you said when you came in here today about my response to being on panels?
Oh, yes. So I was listening yesterday. Because
by the way, did I introduce Chris Saliza and Gary Brown and Michael Kornheiser and Nice?
I was...
$20 cab ride to get there, less than a mile.
Why are you not taking Uber?
$20 cab ride from in front of the Mayflower to the museum, which is less than a mile.
Yeah.
Less than a mile. $20.
Uber Black.
They used to...
How long? 15 minutes?
25 to 30.
Wow.
There's a ton of traffic there.
Oh, that was right after
I left at 6:15.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the old days, the Washington cabs were zoned.
Right.
You just paid what you paid.
Right, I remember that.
That'd be like $3.
Anyway. Oh, you're on zone 1 to zone 2?
So, I was listening to the show, and when I do those things, and I'm rarely sharing a stage with the likes of you, Costas, and Wilbon and Christine Brennan, but anytime I do those things, my inclination always, 100% of the time, is to just try to make jokes.
That's it.
And make people laugh. And it has gotten me, the CNN people warn me now before I do these things, like, don't just try to be funny because you can, you know, you get yourself in trouble by, like, you try to make a joke. Like, I just want people in the room to be like, because
I want to be entertaining.
Right.
I'm not
Meanwhile,
as
people
smart
are talking
the
about,
people.
Like, the future of journalism. And you're like,
I don't care.
Right.
I have
exactly.
a question for you, Chris.
I'm so
about
old. The future, the only thing I care about is Ingleside. Where Michael gives me the pamphlets all the time.
Yeah, he had talked to us about that.
Really, it's lovely there.
Assisted living.
It's really beautiful. You're going to like it.
You mentioned the CNN people.
Lots of activities.
Quiet around the piano.
I guess that's just my headphones. You guys aren't having trouble hearing anything.
No.
Okay, you mentioned the CNN
Sorry, were you
people.
Saying something?
I was going to... We have... Michael, Nigel, Chris, and I have, I guess, what could only be described as a very not safe for work text thread. That is like, it's literally one of the, and I thought about this the other day when somehow a conversation came up about emails and someone was saying, you know, well, if someone saw all your emails and text messages, you know, how would you look? And I immediately thought of our thread, which is, you know, it's just, it's way
bad.
Out there. And
it's
I almost,
mostly anti-Tony.
largely Tony destroying.
Yeah, it's fine.
So
Can
I
you
thought
believe
of this,
him?
Tuesday night, I was watching the election results on CNN, and they had... Dana Bash and Jake Tapper sort of at a two-top by themselves. They had your boy Wolf Blitzer doing sort of the ins and outs. They then had Anderson Cooper moderating a table with four people on each side of him. It's a total of 12.
It's a lot of people.
Saliza, nowhere to be seen. And I wanted to ask how
it
far
hurts.
Down the bench, like what do they pay you for? Why do they
if
bring
those,
you over if they're
if,
not going to play you?
If it's those 12 people... had been disappeared, and then 12 more had been disappeared.
You'd have been at the
then
end of the bench.
Then they might
then.
Have called me. I was on in the...
Are you,
you
like
know,
the Jose Lobatone of CNN?
Well, you know what they
point?
Say? The hot hour for an election is 4 hours after it's been called. And so that's when I was
You came on at midnight?
They're like, is anyone still in the building?
He was in the CNN basement.
Yesterday, literally, tweeting. Yesterday at 9
Chris,
o'clock
Chris,
in the morning...
Chris, finished mopping up, can
it's
you
It's so true. Yesterday at 9 o'clock in the morning, I literally got the warm body call. Someone, they were like, someone just canceled. Can you go on in 3 minutes?
2 hours passed out on set.
You're a person. Can you go on?
Just try not to do that thing where you're just making jokes the whole time.
It's so true.
Jokes are good. Anyway, so I went to this event, and then I came home at a reasonable hour, like around 9 o'clock, which made me very happy.
So you're
happy.
Not all
but
crotchety
what,
this
what
morning.
A lot of people talked about, because we're older. okay, we're 20, 30, 40 years older than when these events happen. And so you look around to see who has aged well. And I have not. Most have.
Maury Povich.
Most look... Maury looks great.
It looks like he's 35 years old.
Maury looks great. Looks great, yeah. I have aged really badly.
And
really
I don't feel badly. That way, but maybe yeah. I've been around you. Yeah. Although I should say, I like the short hair. You recently got
your
haircut.
You got your haircut.
Yeah, I got my haircut.
It looks better.
We had beautification day. Yeah.
Who's aged really well? Len looks the same age.
Len Downey looks exactly the same.
Right.
He looks exactly the same. I think Myra looks great. I think
Woodward
looks
the same.
Bob looks good. Yeah, I mean, you know, I look bad. It's just me.
Well, what did Howard Cosell say about
you? You weren't exactly Clooney.
Howard Cosell said,
that's like my favorite story.
I'm quoting verbatim. Doesn't he realize he's unsightly?
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. You can put that on your tombstone.
Didn't he realize?
Yes. So good.
Yeah, that's all right. All right, let's get out of here. We'll come back with Mike Freeman, a Bleacher Report, right?
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek, and this is the SeatGeek read. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps of your phone. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person. SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, as Chris Saliza found out, listeners or participants in this high-quality pod get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. If you want that, here's what you do. You download the SeatGeek app. You enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Logan Rogers of Lightning Rod Records, who writes simply, here's Beat the Machine by the Quaker City Nighthawks. The band name comes from a Mark Twain short story. It's lovely.
I really like this.
This lovely. Is good. I love the name. Quaker City Nighthawks
Quaker
is great.
Quaker City Nighthawks.
Has an oaky feel.
Really like this.
Silky mouthfeel.
Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report joins us now. And the biggest story, yesterday we were about to do PTI, and our lead story is going to be something about the college football playoffs. And then at about 4 o'clock, 4:15, there's a story out of the New York Times about Jerry Jones.
Jera.
Who apparently hates...
Yep.
He apparently hates Roger Goodell with the light of 1,000 suns. And for whatever his reasons are, he not only doesn't want a contract extension for Roger Goodell, he's threatening to sue the league and sue individual owners, some of the most revered owners in the league, the owners of the Patriots, the Giants, and the Steelers. He's going to sue them if Roger Goodell gets this, and he's brought in David Boies, who is high-powered and is a partner, or one of the people we know very well as a partner in that firm. It's a Times story. Freeman and I have both worked at the Times. I think that we respect the story. We respect all of it. What do you make of this, Mike?
Well, I think it's the story, Tony, is 100% accurate. And Jerry Jones isn't going to screw around. I mean, he this is something he would do, and he wouldn't even think twice about it. As you said, he hates Roger Goodell with the light of 1,000 suns. That's pretty true. I mean, he has become, just in 1 year, and I'll tell you why in a second, and the reason why it's obvious, but in 1 year, during Deflategate, he was a huge Goodell supporter.
Sure, because that hurt the Patriots. Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was on the record saying how great a commissioner he is and how he's handled Deflategate really well. And then along came the Ezekiel Elliott case. And now he hates Goodell because the Ezekiel Elliott case is with one of his key players. But the threat's real. I mean, he's not screwing around, and he would do it. Now, there's a lot of caveats to this. One of them is, in the end, the odds still are that Goodell will move forward as commissioner, get the extension. But under the layer under that is, how will he emerge from all this? He's already a very weakened commissioner. I mean, he is, if you're really honest about this and blunt about this, he has screwed up so many things that his position both inside the NFL and without question outside the NFL, how he's viewed, is very low. I mean, if there was an approval rating for him, it would be like minus 410.
Well, then, but Mike, that begs the question all the time. If he's the public face of all of their failures, and he's viewed, now you're saying, inside and outside as no good, why do so many owners say, we love him, and here's more money and more years? Why?
Because one of the reasons why is he takes the slings and arrows, and they don't.
Right.
And now what's changing is, and why Jerry Jones has become so vocal, and there are other owners who are this way too, like Dan Snyder. One of the reasons why that has changed is because of what you said. It's because they're like, why are we doing this? And Jerry Jones has always been with his contract, he's very heavy into incentives. And he looks at Roger Goodell, and not only because Roger Goodell screwed with his own player, but also Jerry Jones is sort of a bottom-line guy. Look at all these things that have happened and how these have all been screwed up, from Deflategate to Bountygate to how he mishandled Colin Kaepernick to how he mishandled Ray Rice, how he mishandled Josh Brown. There's like a litany of things, and Jerry's looking at this and going, why are we doing this?
Right.
Slow down. So your point is a valid one, but the other owners say, instead of us taking all this, he's taking it, and that's worth it, but I think that's starting to shift a little bit.
Okay. There's an escalation here that is really different than before. Robert Kraft had every reason to hate Roger Goodell. He did not threaten to sue the league over Tom Brady, and he did not threaten to sue other owners. They are a partnership. Right. He's saying, I'm out, and I'm going to sue all of you, and I'm going to take all of you down. That's insane. Is it not in a partnership? That's insane.
It would be pretty bad.
Yeah.
It would be pretty bad. And if there is, the word you use is escalation, and 100% right. It would take this in a whole new stratosphere. But that is, you know, Jerry didn't get to where he is by doing what the other owners are doing. He's much more of a confrontational guy. And you mentioned Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft really is not. So I don't know. I kind of think I know where this is going. I think things will calm down.
You do? You
but
think that?
Go, I tend to think it'll calm down because it's not in the interest of overall of Jerry to kind of do it. But I don't know. This is one of those cases where I just don't know what's going to happen. The future here is really murky. And there's also the fact that Roger Goodell may say, screw this. He may decide he doesn't want this and walk away.
Really? From $40 million a year for doing nothing? Really?
He's already made like a ton of money. He may decide it's not worth it.
All right, let me get to the Jerry Jones question, because Wilbon and I were talking about this yesterday, and we are old enough to remember when Al Davis was in this particular position. But everybody in the league hated Al Davis. And Wilbon said to me, well, you know, when Jerry started, everybody hated him. I said, well, maybe then, but not now. Because he's made these people a lot of money. Really made money for the league. And so the question I have is, we're going to say that this is a rogue act, and we're going to say it's an insurrection, and we're going to say it's an escalation. But what kind of backing does Jerry Jones have from other owners? How is Jerry Jones in 2017 regarded by other owners for whom he's made a ton of cash?
He's seen by a lot of owners, Tony. There are a lot who like him and a lot who don't. They think he's some that really think he's a genius and listen to a lot of his advice and know that he's really good at making money and has made the league a lot of money.
Yes.
Do it. So there's a lot of owners that do like him. There's a lot of owners that don't, that think he's selfish. And this kind of thing, they say, see, we've told you his interests are only for him and not the league. The more old school owners, the guys who look at football as a family business, think Jerry is more destructive than helpful. And the guys who are newer owners who tend to look at football as a making money opportunity,
right,
look at Jerry as a genius. So it's like, it's kind of like that. But you hit on something that's really important. With Al Davis, he was not liked.
Right.
Jerry Jones is not like that.
Al Davis was out to hurt the league. Al Davis was out to get what he wanted and hurt the league, and he didn't care. It never struck me that Jerry Jones is out to hurt the league. He may be out to hurt Roger Goodell, but not the league.
I think that's 100% right. And he's out to just make money. Jerry's about making cash. And the falling ratings, all the controversies, the poor handling of Colin Kaepernick, that all feeds into Jerry's narrative that why are we giving this guy this guaranteed money? Make him earn it, and so far he hasn't earned it, so screw him, we can find someone else. That's kind of his thinking.
Okay. You mentioned Kaepernick. I know that you're close to Kaepernick, and I know that you and I disagree on Kaepernick, for example. I believe the best thing that would happen is somebody would hire Kaepernick, and then Kaepernick wouldn't be any good, and that would be the end of this, and we wouldn't have to talk about it forever. But the NFL has invited Kaepernick in to some sort of a meeting. Will he go, and are there caveats about mediators, which I think is both good and bad, but what will he go?
So far nothing's been confirmed with him meeting with the commissioner. I guess from what I'm told, and it's been reported, and I've been told the same thing, that he invited Kaepernick. Kaepernick said, "I want a mediator there," and it kind of fell apart from there. I'm biased. I like Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. I think he's. I feel about him the way I feel about him, but just from an honest standpoint, if you just sued the league for collusion or you filed a complaint against the league for collusion, why would you go to a one-on-one meeting with the person you're going after? You would want a third party there just to verify that what was said. Like, Kaepernick's not stupid. He's not just going to go walk into a meeting with a bunch of... that's crazy.
How I feel. I would not trust anything that came from the league about Kaepernick, and I would not trust anything that came from Mark Garagos and Kaepernick about the league. I would not. I would want, and I'm sure you would want, Mike, independent verification. So if you bring in people to independently verify what happened, then they are going to be less likely to make a deal with one another. To tell the truth to one another, because then it can be accurately reported. So I think that sort of makes it a catch-22, and I don't know the way out of that.
I think you're right. I feel very strongly. I don't know Mark Garagos, but I know Colin and that camp. They've been nothing but straightforward and honest. And the other side has done a lot of lying.
Mm-hmm.
Your overall point is completely correct. That you want a third party rep who would sort of verify what was said. And the second thing you said is, where does it go? That's the problem.
Then it becomes really a photo op. That's all it is a photo op, and no negotiations really take place because neither side wants the total truth to come out, I don't think.
Well, I would say that where it goes from here, Tony, is the collusion case has to be gone. Kaepernick's not going to trust anything the loser does.
No, shouldn't.
And so the collusion case has to be sort of work its way through before the next steps of how you solve this. But here's the thing I would say. The NFL, the commissioner, Kaepernick aside, put Kaepernick out of it. One, look at some of the quarterbacks that are being signed. It's still a complete joke.
It is.
A joke. It's laughable, some of the dudes that are playing. But also, the league hasn't offered any kind of solution. Not that it's all on them. The players have to come up with something, too. But the league hasn't really – this is one of the reasons why Goodell is in trouble. He's always two, three steps behind. He's not thinking ahead. I'm just a dude that sits, writes sports, and watches Star Trek. And I could have seen this coming when Kaepernick first took the knee. I said, this is going to be a problem for a long time. They got to get ahead of this. And they never did.
No, it's over a year. It's over a year. And their only solution now is to say, we'll work on this. They have nothing. They have nothing. It's just, here's what they got. They got the guy from Papa John's complaining. Yeah. They got him complaining that he's not selling enough.
Such a sympathetic figure.
Kaepernick, you know, I think people have forgotten that he was effective when we last saw him. They were 1-10 last year in his 11 starts. He threw for 2,200 yards, 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
Yeah, on a terrible team.
Right. Now, I mean, when you think about some of the team, when you think, like, if you watch Tom Savage last week,
right?
You know, you don't think that team could use Kaepernick?
Well, I think a lot of teams could use Kaepernick. What I think, though, is that I think we are romanticizing his talent right now. Because he hasn't done
We're not saying he's Tom Brady, but he's got to be better than five of the guys out there right now.
More than five. Stink.
More than five. More than five.
He's still. I covered a game where he played the Patriots, one of his last games, and he was really good. But he's still very effective. You're right. He's not Tom Brady, but he would be a top 10 quarterback, I think. I feel pretty strongly about that.
I don't really understand this. I don't think he'd be top 10, but I what I don't understand is the obvious solution is to just hire him. And if he fails, he fails.
Maybe he could be commissioner.
That's win, win, win. Is it not, Mike? It's so easy. It's so easy.
Yes, and it goes back to the start of our conversation about why Goodell is having the problems he's having. The easy solutions get screwed up.
And by the way,
Ray Rice case was pretty easy to handle. Some of these other cases
were
easy to handle, and they screwed them up.
I mean, if you don't like Kaepernick, you boo his pants off when he goes out there. That's the way of the world. That's fine. That's fine. That's fair. All right. Freeman, it's always good to talk with you. Thank you.
You too.
Michael Freeman, boys and girls, Bleacher Report. We'll take a break. We'll come back with news. Carville, allegedly.
Yeah, we'll do something.
In theory. So we're not going to count on it.
The 6-10, James Carville.
We don't know where he is. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Omaha Steaks ad. This is a tremendous bargain for you. It really is, given what the normal prices of Omaha Steaks are and the quality of Omaha Steaks. It's a tremendous bargain. If you're struggling to find the perfect gift for someone who has it all, like Roger Goodell, if the holidays are bothering you because they're fast approaching, you don't know what to do, order gifts from everyone on your list with a click of a mouse. Not a real mouse, of course, but that thing they call a mouse. Get the perfect gift and avoid the malls, the lines, and the crowd. Omaha Steaks, for only $49.99, is going to get you the family gift pack. You go to omahasteaks.com, you enter the code TonyK in the search bar, you get 75% off, okay? Here's what you're going to get. 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 hamburgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steaks seasoning packet, and you get 4 additional kielbasa sausages for free.
I'm doing that, by the way. I remember back in the day when you got the big pack,
and
when we were in Rockville, and you gave me some, and it was delicious.
Yeah. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving exclusive savings just to my listeners. That's not actually true, but because there's a lot of guys doing this. But you're going to get the savings. You're going to get it. Go to omahasteaks.com, O-M-A-H-A. Omaha, it's the capital of
Nebraska. In the middle of America.
Right. Is it the capital of Nebraska? Or is Lincoln the capital of Nebraska?
Peyton Manning Audible.
Yeah.
Omaha.
No, what's
Omaha.
The capital of Nebraska? Is it
Omaha.
It's Omaha, not Lincoln. It's Omaha. Yeah. Lincoln is where the university is.
It's Albany,
isn't Omahasteaks.com. Enter the code TonyK in the search bar. Get a 75% savings. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from Mike Romito, and it's his brother's song.
That's right.
Dante Romito. He's been playing in the Pittsburgh area for years. The song is called Irwin Vibe. It's an instrumental track, so if you're waiting for words, Tony, you're going to have to wait a while. He writes, you guys are great. Thanks for being smart and funny most of the time. Hope you enjoy the track. It's available on iTunes and the standard millennial music outlets. We appreciate that. Michael, if people want to submit music with or without words, how do they do it?
They can send their music to jingles at tonykornheiser.com. And Irwin, now that's a great name.
It is. It's a great middle name for sure.
Strong.
Yes,
strong.
Really good. A lot of kids are named Irwin these days, right?
Very popular.
A lot of kids named Dr. Mister.
Right, is Carville with us?
Yes, he is.
James Carville, who we have not heard from in weeks. Right. Who had last time he gave us picks, he went 1-3. He's 6-10. God. You were crushed the last time. What have you got for us?
I got two lock super steam Special of the year, double play.
Oh, double play. Nice.
Get out the oversized lock.
I've studied this. I had my tech section run the algorithms. I sent them out to the Silicon Valley and got it perfected. And we're going to start out, and we're going to Starkville, Mississippi.
Mississippi State.
Mighty Alabama Crimson Tide taking on the Mississippi State Bulldogs, and the Bulldogs are getting like 14 points.
That's exactly what we see.
And we're going to pounce right on the Bulldogs.
Really? You're going to take the Bulldogs?
Well, the theory being this, that, hey, Mississippi State is good. I mean, they're not as good as Alabama, but they're really good. And LSU, I watched the game, they actually played Alabama toe-to-toe. Three big plays, and, you know, we actually gained more yards, had more first downs. I know that doesn't count. We're not as good as they are, but they were bruised. And Mississippi State is at home, and they're getting points. And then Alabama's kind of looking forward to Auburn and everything else. This is classic trap game. Take the Bulldogs.
Okay. Bama banged up defensively, to James's point.
Yeah, they banged. I mean, LSU's physically just played with them all night. I mean, really played with them.
Okay.
And then the other one I like is the L.A. Chargers are going to Jacksonville.
Uh-huh. And they're getting four.
And they're getting four,
mm-hmm.
and take Jacksonville.
You like Jacksonville?
I do. I think Leonard Fournette is going to. I predict that my sophisticated data analysis is that Leonard Fournette is going to gain 161.2 yards.
Wow. by the way,
I've done this.
Jacksonville, Tony, widely available at 3.5 presently in Vegas.
And
sure.
Half.
So we'll give you that extra half point.
Three and a half.
Four would be a winner.
Yeah, I really like Jacksonville. I really like one. And just one more thing. You know, people talk about the NFL and if it's taking a knee, all the things.
Yes.
If you look at the card, there is one game that has Pitt's two teams with a winning record on the whole card. And that game is actually the Saints and the Bills.
Wow.
Every other game, they have
is that right?
500 teams play out. Well, looking, maybe I'm
wrong. Yeah, because Redskins are 500 playing the Vikings.
Right, yeah. right.
But there's only one game on the entire card where you have a winning record playing a winning record.
It is.
You and I can remember, like, yesterday when, you know, late Sunday game, if, you know, Kansas City and Oakland were playing, man, we would miss that for nothing in the world. You just look at the cards.
It's not a good season. It's not good. Last week was so depressing because the only player I want to see anymore is Tom Brady, and they were on a bye. It's a very deflated season, don't you feel, James?
When the Rams punter is the guy that you want to see now. You know what I mean? You wait for the Rams to punt.
Yeah, it doesn't happen much.
There are 13 teams over 500, but just they're not playing. Yeah, to James' point.
Yeah, they're not playing. It's just a call. I mean, it's a fluke. But, that, you know, and all they're doing, all this analysis and wondering and everything else, I just don't think the games are like they used to be. I mean, like the baseball games were actually in the playoffs, but they were all good.
They were great.
You didn't see those games.
Series was great. I miss baseball. Mm. I know I won't in a month, but I miss it now. You know what else? Yeah. You know what else is bothersome to me, James? It gets dark so early.
Oh,
that's
a little bit of a left turn, but good observation.
It just gets dark.
Long
early.
Grocery lines. What?
Yogi Berra say it gets dark early in Yankee Stadium or something like that.
Thank you, James.
A clean sweep will get James to 500.
Yes, we're rooting for James.
Man, we're smoking.
Mississippi State, and we're rooting for Jacksonville, which I'd never said before in my life. Because all there are Waffle Houses and a river that flows north. All right, what do you got, Nigel? You got some news?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. And we will start off with embattled former Cardinals coach Rick Pitino. Now, it's according to the indictment, he was aware of the pay for
Wait a minute. So you're saying he lied?
What? That's what is being revealed in this indictment. It says that Dawkins, and this is Charlie Dawkins, a Louisville assistant, who is also part of this scheme to pay players, said Dawkins explained that while Pitino and the University of Louisville were recruiting this kid, Bowen, Dawkins asked Pitino to call this bloke, James Gatto, at a request that Adidas provide the money requested by the family of Bowen, which Pitino agreed to. That's what's in the indictment.
Whoa, wait. Is the guy who is turning on Pitino himself charged with something? And does that make him a credible or non-credible
source? When you say turning on Pitino, this was what he testified to under oath.
Well,
apparently.
Maybe he's trying to get a better deal for himself. That's maybe. All I'm saying. Maybe he's flipping to get a better deal on himself.
I think Gatto is being... there was an FBI complaint against Gatto released on September 26th. So, yeah. So, you never know exactly.
I'm not saying Patino isn't lying. I'm saying that they're, you know,
the,
you the have to look at all of it.
Of the guy. Yeah.
You have to look at all of it.
Presumably, the motivation is to tell the truth if you're sworn under oath. Penalty of perjury.
Page
I guess
and
that
Carter
doesn't,
Page.
Doesn't apply anymore, I guess.
Yes. And when the original complaint was out there, it was called Coach 2, and that is who Patino is. So.
Just couldn't have seen that coming.
What about Bruce Pearl?
Here I was thinking they did it all behind his back.
What's going to happen with Bruce Pearl? The Auburn fired Chuck Peirce.
Yep.
And Bruce Pearl, as of yesterday, was unwilling to cooperate with an internal investigation at Auburn. That means he's out. And he's already been fired by Tennessee.
I think he's
And I like him personally. I wonder who will get on TV first to do commentary, Bruce Pearl or Rick Pitino? Because both are great.
Both are terrific.
Bruce Pearl hated in the coaching community, right? Due to the Iowa thing.
He turned somebody else in many years ago.
Right. I mean, I remember that he could not get a job.
Yeah. Then he did very well at Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
That's right. Okay.
Do either one of them, I mean, if Pearl loses job, does he get another job coaching? Does Patino, do you think?
Pearl will not because that's two.
That's two?
That's two.
Chuck Person, by the way, $23 million earned in his NBA career. I guess in the words of, was it Patrick Ewing? We make a lot, but we spend a lot.
We spend a lot.
Spend a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else?
I know you wanted an update on LiAngelo Ball and the other UCLA players who've been accused.
Are they still under house arrest?
They are a hater.
They are still under house arrest. They're at, as they describe it, a luxury hotel in Hangzhou, China.
Yeah.
And they are not allowed to leave until the proceedings are done. Now, what is not said in this copy or in this reporting is how long these proceedings are expected to take. Now, the rest of the team is in Shanghai along with Coach Steve Alford.
We have the entire State Department and the President of the United States in China at the moment.
China.
Yeah, I think
do you think
China.
He wants these people to stay in China or come back?
Well, he probably wants them to come back.
Because they're American citizens,
right? Yes.
If I ran UCLA, the moment I could get these players out, I would not let them continue with the team.
No,
not
just
a chance.
Get them out of there.
I'd bring them back to Los Angeles, and I would boot them for some amount of time.
I mean, there's no way they're getting rid of LiAngelo Ball. I mean, as on the team,
right?
Because he's good.
He's not that good. He's the last recruit they've got. He's the worst of the three brothers.
He's the worst of the three brothers.
Yeah. If you boot him, then you don't get LaMelo.
So you
is LaMelo the second best or the best? We think Lonzo is the best.
We think Lonzo's the best.
That's a college player.
Lonzo was 4 of 15 last night. Lonzo's shooting
9 points.
Different games. Okay, yeah. Lonzo was a baller at UCLA.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was
no
a very good player.
Baller.
And by the way, you talked about that with
big baller brand.
Lonzo Ball and the Lakers playing the Celtics, and the way it was being billed, it was like the rivalry is renewed. And it's Lonzo Ball versus Kyrie Irving.
Lonzo Wednesday
killed him.
Kyrie Irving. No, that's not. It should be
not close.
So, but yeah, the Celtics end up winning that game 107-96. They've now won 10 straight games. And I know you wanted to talk about this. This is a melancholy at me trails to a bloke by the name of Sid Catlett.
Sid Catlett was on the DeMatha team in 1964, 1965 that played, I think they played twice. I think they played Power Memorial twice. They lost the first time. They won the second time. At the time, Lou Alcindor, which was his name, was held to the fewest amount of points he'd ever had, 16 points in that particular loss that when Power lost to DeMatha, which was a huge deal nationwide. I used to love covering high school basketball when I worked at Newsday. Sid Catlett, very famous in the area, had a wonderful career doing a lot of different things. Up there, I think his name in Washington, D.C., and I shouldn't do this because I'm not from here, but I think that you'd list, you know, Adrian Dantley and James Brown and Elgin Baylor, and I think people would put, and John Thompson, I think people would put Sid Catlett in that grouping.
Was Adrian Dantley after that on those teams?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yes, he was after
But Adrian Dantley was DeMatha.
Yes.
But just after
John
that
Thompson
years.
was not...
He was the school that Chris Wright went to.
Was it St. Anthony?
Murray, right?
No, it was not Murray.
It was not Potomac.
Had to be Sidwell.
It was where Monk Malloy went, and I just don't know the name of the school.
It wasn't St. John's? That's what I was thinking
I don't think
of.
It was St. John's, and I don't think it was Gonzaga. I don't.
Was
and
it Carroll? We're not going to name it. It was Carroll.
Carroll. Yeah. Archbishop Carroll. Yeah. That was the school.
And by the way,
I'm not from here. though I've been here a long time.
For no particular reason, it was just on TV yesterday. Hoosiers, which is such a brilliant movie.
Run the picket fence.
Get to the thing.
Just
don't get the thing caught watching about the car. The car.
The Hopper. Future is here, Mr. Tony.
Yes.
And we don't want to be a part of it. I know you and I are very much against this.
No.
But a driverless shuttle bus in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
Yes, made its debut. And hours after it had shuttled a few people around, including Danica Patrick and Penn and Teller were part of the first.
Penn and Teller, did they talk? Did the other one talk?
No, I don't
think
he did.
Teller does not talk.
No, I don't think he did. It was involved in a crash.
Yes.
Now, you and I.
When you say involved in. Someone hit it or it hit something?
There was a truck.
There was a truck that was a semi-truck that was backing up. And now, according to the police report, the driverless car stopped appropriately. It was the truck that was at fault.
Yes, the driver I'm
with you on that.
I don't care.
Why are you guys against? Do you drive on the streets of Washington and see people literally staring at their phone while driving?
Well, yes.
Driverless cars are great.
I'm sure I can get on that.
You're blaming the robot.
Yes,
for a human error. The guy crashed into it. Today, I'd walk outside and get in one. I'm a terrible driver.
Somebody get one here. Let's put him in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't do
get
it.
Get him in a prototype that hasn't been tested.
I wouldn't do it.
Why is it going 150 miles an hour?
I would not do it. One woman said, I mean, there's no steering wheel. There's no brakes. There's like a monitor there and a computer.
It's not on a track. What? This isn't Disney World, just, right? No. It's driving.
And
it's
fine. She goes, a little bit of looking around, you know, wondering if it was going
to
stop.
How does it know when to turn quickly?
Many years, in your guys' opinion, are we looking at until these things are literally everywhere?
I hope
20 or 50.
I hope 5, but probably
no way,
15.
5 years 15. After I die. I just 15. Don't. Wow. I mean, this
you
is the first.
You probably die in a car accident.
So in our lifetime, but not Tony's.
We talk about the animal revolution.
I'm out quick.
The robot revolution is the one we need to be worried about.
Let's get out of here.
I just had one more story for you, Mr. Tony. We could save this for Friday, but I think it's important to talk about today. We talk about Deltona, Florida, and there was a couple.
Deltona, not Daytona?
Deltona.
No, Deltona. Right. Deltona.
It's the capital of Florida, interesting.
And Lindsay Pelton and.
Sorry.
Lindsay Pelton and Doug Teixeira. Tex, as he's known to his friends, had a problem with the home that they were renting. There was a door that wasn't locking, and they went to the landlord, and they said, hey, you've got to fix this. And he said, no, we're not going to fix it. So they came up with a scheme. And the scheme was, let's shoot ourselves and pretend that there was a break-in, and then we can sue the management company that runs this.
Fantastic idea.
Shoot ourselves?
Just a flesh wound. Yeah. Did they shoot at the same time?
It's unclear who took the first hit. And they also claim
with an actual firearm like a BB gun.
It's a 22, which the police found in their house. And they said, well, this is your gun, isn't it? Oh, well, yeah, the robbers, they actually took this from us and used it on us. We were surprised in the shower when they came in. And, of course, the shower was not wet when the police got there.
Oh, my God.
And there was also bleach. They found evidence of bleach and cleaning up. And they also claimed that the thieves had stolen $7,000 and jewelry from a safe that they had in the house. But, of course, one of their parents said, no, they've got no money. I'm actually paying all their bills. So they're in a spot of
trouble. Unbelievably stupid.
How could that crime go wrong?
Or for $40, we could go to Home Depot and buy a new lock.
You know, tomato, tomato.
Unbelievably stupid. All right, we'll get out of here. What's next? Old Guy Radio and Chuck Todd. When we return, I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
They say in life there are no guarantees. They say there's no sure thing. Well, I'm here to tell you there might just be one exception. In 1924, Husky started making things for people who make things, and they did it with common sense. That meant adding function, never frills, and making tools that stood the test of time. 93 years later, older than I am, Husky is still making quality-crafted, durable tools, and Husky stands by their hand tools for life, so they give their hand tools a lifetime warranty, like the Husky Ratchet, with a 100-position ratcheting design and a 10% longer handle than standard ratchets to do what other ratchets can't, or the virtually unbreakable Husky flashlight with the ability to withstand a 30-foot drop and work in up to 1 meter of water submersion, both guaranteed for a lifetime, but built so you won't need it. Now, that's a pretty sure thing. And to Husky, that's common sense. Husky, common sense tools since 1924, with hand tools guaranteed for a lifetime, and they are found only at the Home Depot.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for today is the Beatles. Nigel, explain this.
Because on this day in 1961, Mr. Epstein, Brian Epstein, went to the Cavern Club for the first time and saw the Beatles for the first time and went backstage afterwards and began the relationship with them. We led them to be their manager, and this was really the start of the journey.
And this is called...
This song is called Some Other Guy.
I am unfamiliar with this song, so I can't do much critical commentary on it, but Nigel can.
The reason... Well, the song was originally written by... it was a Lieber Stoller, Richie Barrett song, and then it... A Liverpool group called The Big Three recorded it, and then everybody in the Liverpool area was playing it along with the Beatles. And the reason why I played this is there's very rare footage of them on stage at the Cavern Club playing this song, and it's just, I mean, they're so impossibly young, and it's just fantastic to see.
Okay, so yesterday, apropos of this, and you know how much I love that movie, That Thing You Do, I watched the first 30 minutes of it where they go on stage in that competition, and the drummer goes much faster than he did in the afternoon, and it's great. It is the Beatles.
It's great.
It is.
By
it's
the way,
just fabulous.
Peter Melman dropped a lot of Beatles knowledge on us before.
Oh yeah,
is he a Beatles fan?
Oh yeah, he's a big Beatles fan. Beatles fan.
I didn't realize that.
If you watch the anthology, there is this video, this film clip of them playing Some Other Guy, and it's just fantastic.
Chuck Todd joins us now. One of the great pleasures on this show is the fact that the host of Meet the Press is picking games against the spread every week in the NFL. Rough week last week, Chuck. 2-5, now 29-34. You need a big week.
I do. And, you know, in the day and age of Trump, you never take blame. You never take personal responsibility. You always blame someone else.
Right.
I'm blaming you. Talked me in. You said, oh, yeah, the Giants, they're definitely covering. Trap game for the Rams. We don't know if they're good. And you sort
boom,
of
nailed
it. So I'm blaming you.
51 points later.
Do you think that
personal responsibility?
By the way, how is Ben McAdoo still employed by the New York Giants?
Well, careful. He's employed as we record.
Right. Note the time.
Just unbelievable.
Right. I bet Chuck, by the way, does Chuck know, unlike me, the capital of Nebraska?
Do you know the capital of Nebraska, Chuck?
Yeah, it's Lincoln.
Yeah, like
that's
I said, Omaha.
I thought it was Lincoln.
10 out of 10 for me.
By the way, on the McAdoo thing.
Wait, Saliva, you really said Omaha?
Yes.
And said it loud. He was loud.
I said out loud and proud.
Talked us into it.
Well,
fake news.
I'm not going to be on Celebrity Jeopardy.
Fake news.
Good shot at me there, Chuck.
Yeah.
Whoever replaces McAdoo,
yeah,
will have to also be the guy that jettisons Eli Manning.
Sure.
Maybe do that.
Don't you make McAdoo do it? No, it's funny you say.
Yeah,
that.
Right.
Good point.
Right.
McAdoo do it.
Make McAdoo do it, then fire him.
How could he?
Yeah. How could you do that?
How could he?
Here we go. Seattle coming off what, contrary to Michael Wilbon believes, is the biggest upset of the year. Seattle was inept against the Redskins at home last week. Seattle goes to Arizona, not a good team, Arizona. Even with Adrian Peterson, not a good team. Seattle giving 6. What do you do?
I'm just assuming they bounce back. I mean, look, I'm not going with gut feelings. I'm going with better team. Seattle is better. I think that they have to win this, and there is no quarterback in Arizona, so it has to be this.
That is tonight. That game is tonight, right?
Larry Fitzgerald owner. Yeah. Even uglier. I don't want to do it, but I can't sit with the Cardinals.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it. It's a lot of points, but give me the Seattle.
Both Wilbon and Lilbon will be at that game tonight. Just so you know, in case you see him in the
road
stands.
Road favorite Thursday night.
Right.
Treading in dangerous waters.
New Orleans, which has won.
I know.
Yeah, New Orleans has won 5 in a row. Don't ask me how, because I don't really understand it. Maybe they haven't beaten anybody good. They're on the road in Buffalo. I don't know how cold it'll be on Sunday in Buffalo, but I think it's going to be pretty cold. They're an indoor team going on the road to cold weather, because it's going to be cold here, and that is way further north than here. Who you got?
Gary, I bet you this line changes. I love that I'm getting 3 points now with the Bills. I bet you by Sunday this is a point or pick 'em because of the weather. Give me the Bills and those 3 points.
Current forecast, overcast, low 40s. So not too cold.
That's terrible.
That's cold for New Orleans people.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see that stat? Apparently New Orleans, if they win 6 in a row, right? If they end up, is it, they're 5-2 now?
Yeah, they won 5 in a row.
That's right. They start 0-2. They win 6 in a row. The last two teams to start 0-2 and then win 6 in a row both won the Super Bowl.
Dallas Cowboys were one of them, weren't they?
and the Giants apparently are the other.
That was the Emmitt Smith year with the Dallas Cowboys. Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, New Orleans. Super Bowl? 6-2.
Yeah. Los Angeles Chargers, who I have no regard for, are going to Jacksonville, going across the country to Jacksonville.
How'd that game
A team that nobody knows anything about other than they have very, very chesty defensive backs, obviously. they don't have a quarterback who's very good, but Fournette will be back in the lineup. They've been very effective this year. The Chargers are a team that loses close games. The Chargers are getting 4. What do you do?
Yeah, I'm all over the Jags. They still are not getting proper Vegas respect. They're much better than the Chargers. I don't think like a little bit better. I think they're much better. That Jags defense. I'm a fantasy owner. They've made me look smart.
Okay.
Same.
Okay.
They are. I have the Jags defense. They are unbelievable. I mean, look at their record, and Blake Bortles is their starting quarterback. That's right. I mean, that's all you need to know about their defense.
Well, the most important thing
about that is legit.
He's good.
Yeah, run game and defense. That's like the old.
Which is what Doug Marrone said when he got
Tom
there.
Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Dallas is +3 at Atlanta. Atlanta continues to lose games. I don't get it. Julio Jones dropped the easiest touchdown pass he will ever see in his life. They continue to lose. They're at home. Dallas is +3. Is Ezekiel Elliott playing?
As of now, he is. He's being hurt. His case being heard at 2 p.m. today.
So can you get a line on that game then?
Yes, it's an early line. Because I think the assumption is he will be out.
That's why they're +3. What do you think?
I was just going to say, this is I was really nervous last week because of, I picked the game. Oh, no, that was one of my losses.
Yes.
I picked it assuming no Zeke.
Right.
And that is one. Let me pick it twice, because if there's no Zeke, I would be with Atlanta. If there's Zeke, I would take Dallas. I'll be honest.
Okay, so we'll allow you that. For you, Ezekiel Elliott is the turning point. We will give you that game regardless of what the line is at that point.
He flips and he flops.
Man.
That's fine.
Hey, at least I'm on the record with my flip-flop, Omaha boy.
Yeah. Oh, I owned it.
Yeah.
I celebrate their stakes and their state capital.
All right, New England is at Denver.
Chuck, make sure young Mr. Todd picks up either Alfred Morris or, if he's gone, Rod Smith, sleeper pick for you.
He does have Alfred Morris already. He worried about it last week. But I have a really scary problem, Gary. Tell me when Spike did this. My son the other day goes, hey, by the way, Dad, my daily fantasy team did
that's trouble.
Degenerate gambler 101.
I think right about the age of your, because I think he started that around 10, which is right what you are, right?
Is he gambling on ice hockey yet, Chuck? That's the surest sign.
I was like, how do you know about daily fantasy? Oh, I found it. I went,
Yeah, you don't.
No money.
That would make me happy.
You don't want to see that Google search history.
Here we go.
It does, but publicly I have to pretend to be, upset.
New England was off last week, bye week. New England at Denver. This game was meaningful for a while. Denver has no offense. They have no quarterback that they have any faith in whatsoever. It is a tough place to play. New England coming out of a bye week, giving 7.5. That's really a lot of points. What are you going to do?
Is it?
I don't know. I'm asking
a bad Denver team. I don't know. I look at this and you're like, New England's got a week off. You've got to think they've done something to fix that defense. Oh, and by the way, they're playing Denver. They can't really move the ball.
Right.
I like that 7.5. I know it's a road favorite. That feels like not a lot for a team that might want to make a statement.
Okay. Miami, a team you're very familiar with, a team that's awful. Miami is going to Carolina, and do I have this line right? 9?
Plus 9.
9? Carolina doesn't score any points. 9 is a tremendous amount of points, even for a bad team. Am I crazy on that?
I don't get it. Look, Miami's terrible. They traded away their best, arguably their best offensive weapon.
Running back,
I don't get it. But Carolina, can they score 9 points? I mean, isn't this game going to be 9-3? Or 9-2
Panthers
something
are playing
like
them like
that.
Greg Olsen's still out, right?
Yes, correct.
I mean,
Greg Olsen,
Cutler, cover on it. I don't know, 9 points. Give me the Dolphins, I guess.
I would do this. 9 just seems like so many points.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Carolina does not score a lot of points, and they don't have their two best receivers. They traded one away, and one is hurt. So I don't really get that. All right, the Minnesota-Washington game. This is a Sunday game. Minnesota is -1. I think Minnesota was on a bye last week as well. Washington is coming out of the biggest upset of the year, which changes your mind when you look at the team. Who do you like?
You know, the Skins, to me, every time I think you've figured them out, you know, they do the exact opposite. I'm just going to take Minnesota because they have a great defense. I think they'll slow the game down and win a low-scoring game. But I don't like this pick. I don't know what Redskins team shows up. I just think Minnesota's going to be more consistent.
Okie dokie.
Are you guys can we give Chuck a can we force Chuck into a gambling on convicts versus Catholics? The Miami Notre Dame game.
We're getting the game he cares
more than anything about this weekend.
Anything I care about this year. This is Miami Notre Dame, and it means something.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I'm still angry about 1988. I don't know how well you know the game, but there was as usual, some horrible, you know, referee call in Notre Dame Stadium that screwed Miami out of the winning touchdown. But I love my Canes, man. They're going to cover 3.5.
You're going to release that as a bonus pick?
Bonus pick.
I'm going to release it. They're going to cover it. I love. And if, by the way, if you think they can cover the 3.5, then just bet the money line.
Right.
Because they're going to win that game at home. It's a night game. All the bandwagon fans in Miami who haven't shown up for Miami Hurricane games in 20 years are going to show up.
I love Warren Sapp.
Yeah.
How about that turnover chain, baby? Come on, the turnover chain says Miami, does it not? It's got to. You got to like the turnover chain. Talk,
we have personal interest here in Notre Dame. We have Brian Poley.
I am rooting so hard for Miami. You have no idea.
Is that right?
Oh God! I want them to win 100-0.
That's why Poley thinks you're a douche.
Did you hear that, Notre Dame for the convict? I've never forgiven for the convict thing, man. That thing that is in all seriousness, that is like one of those the Catholic versus convict thing. Some people laugh at it. There's a lot of Miami people that it's anger. It is real anger. The school never really apologized. It's one of those things that can be real touchy with Miami fans when it comes to Notre Dame.
Good 30.
Well, we know you'll be watching. You'll be watching Saturday night.
I can't wait for every one of those guys to watch that 30 for 30 if they haven't seen it yet. I think it's another reason why that Miami team's going to be so fired up.
Thank you, Chuck.
Good luck, Chuck.
Yes, good luck this week. Good luck. And we will make Chuck's bet on Dallas and Atlanta according to Ezekiel Elliott's status. And if we just gave you Chuck Todd, that's enough. But
see the monkey, he's scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo. Reginald's got the bikes by two. Sometimes he throws poo. When he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
Reginald had a big week. Reginald was 3-0. Reginald is 14-13 overall. Some people say that Reginald talks too much during this show, that screeching and all.
Yeah,
I say to them, you know, listen to another show.
Yeah, I mean,
chimp's got a chimp.
Yeah, try to muzzle the monkey?
Chimp, do you.
And it should be pointed
chimp
out.
Chimp rights.
Among Jeff Ma, James Carville, Chuck Todd, and Reginald, that's the sole winning record
he's got
of our celebrity
predictive analysis
as
by Reginald
just about every year.
Yes, that's what happens with Reginald. Now, I went down to the National Zoo yesterday and went to his cage, and it was a big scene there. He was dressed in workout gear. There was a film crew and a studio audience. He's making another exercise tape, this one calling Sweating with the Monkey.
Okay.
It's going to be a big hit out in time for the holidays, so you want to make sure you get
good
that.
Good to have.
Yes, but they took a break from the filming to talk about the games with me, and the first game we gave him was Arizona at home, getting 6 against Seattle, and he showed me a picture of him playing golf with Wilbon and Lilbon
and
in
Lilbon.
Arizona. Apparently, he's got a house right next to Wilbon out there. So he's
Scottsdale, where it's so much cooler than it is in Phoenix when it's hot.
Well, it's a dry cold.
It's just so much cooler.
Yes, so he's going to take Arizona with the 6 points.
Because the elevation is so much higher.
Right. That's exactly
it's like
what it
30,
is.
40 degrees cooler. It's only 107.
Now, the next game we gave him was New Orleans giving 3 at Buffalo. And I wasn't aware of this. It showed me a video clip, this is on his iPad, of him playing a piano with the late, great great Fats Domino.
Fats Domino.
On stage, it was like the Elton John, Billy Joel, oh, like pianos.
Dueling pianos.
Antoine Domino.
Yeah, so clearly he's got strong ties to New Orleans. He'll take the Saints with that and give the three. And, of course, the last game we gave him was the Redskins at home getting one from the Vikings. And this is an interesting photograph. I'm not sure when it was from, and I think it was from the Bahamas, but it was Reginald on a horse riding along a beach with Mike Nelms, Otis Wansley, and Mark Mosley. So I don't know what
That's
was going
beautiful.
On.
Circa 1982.
So he's going to take the home team.
He's going to take the Redskins with that.
Okay. Yeah. All good. Yes. All good. We will take a break. We will come back with a jingle
That's
and
right.
email. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Chuck Todd. You don't seem to get many picks right. Your cell phone's awful. You should call from a landline once or twice. Chuck Todd. Maybe you should call Bud Grant tonight. I'm betting with a monkey, 'cause when you are wrong, he's usually right. Chuck Todd.
Joe Arrow with so music good. And lyrics.
Very good,
totally
Chuck.
Brilliant.
Now that's good.
Before we get into the mailbag, let me say thanks to Meet the Press host Chuck Todd, the great James Carville, Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report for coming on the show today. Sponsors today, SeatGeek, Omaha Steaks, Home Depot. Thank you. Remember to listen. Subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen through iTunes, please leave us a review. Is Karen Pfeffer here? Is this birthday girl Karen Pfeffer? Yes.
Karen?
Happy birthday, Karen.
There she is.
The woman to whom I recently became related by marriage. Thank you for signing our RSVP card.
Yes, congrats.
Thanks also for turning down our invitation cheaper for us. Wanted nothing more on her birthday than have breakfast at Chatter. So we will be there. They are here. She would also be thrilled if you'd give her a birthday shout-out. I did that already.
That. Done.
Secondarily, she'd be thrilled if Chris Saliza were there Thursday. She loves Chris Saliza.
So there's one.
Yes. Okay.
Perfect birthday.
And from Tom in Potomac, Maryland.
Paid her for that.
The next time Suck It Saliza is on the podcast, so he doesn't like it that
much.
Eat
It Saliza.
Please ask him about his plans for the upcoming YouTube tour in the new year. I'm looking for some advice as I plan out 2018. Do I go to the tour opener in Tulsa? Do I travel back to D.C. after the New York show? Or do I stay up north and hit the Philly show? How long in advance of each show should I camp out on the streets? The venues are indoors, but the queue will be outdoors. What type of food should I bring for a 12 to 24-hour line? Most importantly, what band member should I dress as? I want to make sure Chris and I don't dress up the same. I don't want the same fanboy embarrassment that we had in Dallas.
Why would you ask Saliza for you two hookups? Heilemann is the guy to go to for that. Yes. And most of the stuff we ask
Heilemann,
Chris about
name doesn't
matter.
Ring a bell. I am taking a third mortgage on my house to pay for our tickets to the next tour.
Danny writes, this past Sunday I ran the New York City Marathon, thereby completing my third marathon this year. I just wanted to let you know that I've been accompanied along the way each time by your podcast. I ran a 3:37 in Washington, D.C.
Holy moly.
In March, followed by a 3:17 in San Francisco in July, a 3:14 this past weekend.
Are you kidding me?
Thank you for the podcast, perfect companion. As an aside, my parents suffered a similarly poor Uber situation as Michael on Sunday. My father unsuccessfully tried to take an Uber from mile 17 to the finish line before giving up and taking a yellow cab. 2 hours later at brunch, he discovered he'd been charged $622 for a surge-priced Uber he had not taken. Seriously, what are we even doing out here?
At least they didn't end up in Jersey.
Oh, as Nigel and I like to say...
Here's the picture. Here's the picture.
You know how you know if someone's run a marathon? Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Anthony Pellegrino in Thousand Oaks, California. Listening to you talk about how you don't want to do any more panel discussions, I had an idea. I don't think the answer is to actually stop doing them. You just need a new tact, and that is have the leaf blower from Outside Chatter come with you. Whenever Kostas or Wilbon or Brennan or Maury start talking, cue up the leaf blower. It'll kill. Jay Dunbar, president of emeritus of the Saliza fan club, writes, this is the Chatter read. Tony, Maury, Gary, and Alan are four ordinary guys who are fed up with schlepping to other people's restaurants and having money for their children to inherit. They bought their own restaurant in Friendship Heights to ensure that you enjoy the highest quality chili and a perfectly soundproof podcast studio. The wait staff, thematically dressed as Little League infielders, constantly calling out, hey, bada, 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 while you order. If the chili isn't good enough for Wilbon, or if you can hear the sound of a leaf blower during your podcast, Spike and Ike will personally shovel your driveway after the next Kip Schmiemann predicted blizzard. Your humble little.
Oh, shall I make the announcement about Kip?
Yes, please do.
Friday, December 1st, Kip Schmiemann will be on the podcast. Winter weather forecast.
Wow. Is that going to be in person?
No, it's going to be on the phone, okay. Unfortunately.
Greg Wells, why a missing Pennsylvania? Once upon a time, you would get notes about meeting with famous people. Even though I don't think we do that anymore, your discussion of Bob Costas reminded me of my encounter with him. In 1984, after college, I was working several jobs, one of which was hosting a Sunday night sports radio call-in show on a small local station south of Boston, which was just as bad as it
sounds.
Might
have box.
A friend from school was working for a TV station in New York, was at the opening day game at Fenway between the Red Sox and the Yankees. He invited me to attend. Costas had nothing on his schedule that day. He flew up to Boston to watch the game because, of course, he did. I found myself standing in the back of the press box next to him, so I asked if he had the mantle card on him. Sure enough, he whipped out his wallet, showed it to me. To say it was pretty great would be to understate the moment. On my way home to my mother's basement, I wish I was kidding, I thought about how if Costas was the mantle of sports broadcasting, who was I? When I got home, I pulled out a Jim Walford card, stuck it in my wallet, carried it for years. Dennis Ryan, Traverse City, Michigan. Could someone please send Chuck Todd a big box of that? As long as that includes a dartboard and darts that he can use to make his picks going forward.
Wow.
I doubt he could do worse. Perhaps he should stick to news. So great. Everybody rips everybody on this show. Makes me so happy and proud to be here. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
So today I'm announcing my resignation from Congress.
Yeah! Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming.
Herbert!
Took down my coat and I put it on. With cold hands through the sleeves. Pulled down my hat and I rode along. Silent ice in the trees. I rode right past all the soldiers there. Guarding the bridge across the creek. The lonesome sound of my bridle bells. Their mad chattering teeth. Oh,